Welcome to Launch Your Practice, the show that helps therapists build a thriving private practice. I'm your host, Megan Hamilton, and each week I'll be sharing insights and strategies to help you grow your business and achieve financial success. Running a business is not something that we're taught in school, so I've created this podcast to help you learn and avoid some of the sidesteps and mistakes I have made to help you build a profitable private practice. So if you're ready to transform your business, join me on this journey to building a profitable private practice. Now let's get started with today's episode. Hi, friends. Welcome to the podcast. It's Megan here. I am delighted to welcome Dr. Allison Henry, a local physician here in my hometown and a friend. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thanks, Megan. Excited to be joining you.
I'm so happy too. Thank you. I have so many questions to ask you. Are you open to just sharing a little bit about what you do in as few or as many words as you wish, just to tell our listeners a bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So I'm a family doctor. I work here in BC, and I've been a family doctor for close to over 15 years, I think 17 years now. And I do full spectrum family medicine. So we like to say from birth all the way to grave. So I deliver babies, I'm involved in palliative care and kind of all the steps in between. And a more recent thing that I've taken on is a bit more of a role in medical education. So I have been a preceptor with UBC for a very long time, and I'm now a director of a residency program in BC. So that's why I'm also a mom. That's how I know you, Megan, is through our kids.
Yes.
And I'm a pet owner.
Lots of pet owners here. Well, that's wonderful. I'm so grateful for you carving out a small slice of your time with your busy schedule, and just so appreciative, because part of the topic today and one of the most frequently asked questions that I get, and that this is why I approached you, is so many therapists come to me and they really want to build network referral partnerships, relationships with medical professionals and doctors like yourself. And so I feel like I've kind of bushwhacked through the years trying to connect with people. It's not always everyone's forte or comfort level, but I know as a therapist, it feels like there's kind of this brick wall of sorts to kind of reach the professionals that we know could have a real mutual relationship, working relationship together. And so I would love for you to speak to that. How can we, as counselors and therapists in the community, better liaise and connect with medical professionals such as yourself?
Yeah. And, you know, it's probably no surprise that people listening that you did kind of warn me this was going to be the question. And we had a conversation just kind of casually about it. And I was really surprised that therapists find it hard to connect with family doctors. So, yeah. You know, first of all, thanks for making me aware of that, because it just wasn't on my radar. So, you know, it's great if you can meet at the park while your friends are on the swing, which I think is how we met.
That's ideal. That's ideal.
But if you can't, you know, have a nice meet cute like we did. No, I think, you know, that to me though highlights relationship, right? And so if there is a way that you can like build a relationship, and obviously you don't want to network at every social event because that is not appropriate, but the relationship is really important. So how do you then, you know, go about creating that kind of relationship, especially if your paths wouldn't cross otherwise? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, one way is I know some clinicians would be, you know, involved in health authorities and might have more direct exposure to doctors via health authorities, or working in hospitals, or working in kind of hospital clinic settings. So I know that's certainly how I've created relationships with some of the clinicians that I continue to refer to. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way. And I think if any of your listeners out there do that kind of work, just to kind of share with colleagues that they do know that, you know, I'm actually needing more referrals, or I'm looking for referrals, because I think we just assume that like us, you know, you're kind of tapped out, especially with the pandemic. I've heard that it's hard to find good therapy. So that's the first thing, is if you already have a relationship, kind of put the word out and build upon that. And then another kind of, I think, great way would be if you already are seeing someone and you know they have a family physician, send a letter to that physician, engage them and start to build that relationship. And obviously you're not going to breach patient confidentiality, and you'd have to, you know, have some kind of a blurb that you would give to your clients, you know, saying like, is it okay if I reached out to your family doctor, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I always love just getting little snippets, and I don't need all the details, but just, you know, this person has attended a counseling session with me. If you're comfortable, and if your patient or client is comfortable, you know, sharing a bit more about what you're currently working on. So, you know, we've been working on some CBT around this, or, you know, they're dealing with some anxiety and we're working on some desensitization therapies, or just anything, so that if I see them in clinic, I can just kind of pick up on that. Like, oh, how's that been going? Or, you know, what are you working on? Or, you know, I often give my patients like homework and things to do. So to kind of include us or me in part of the team would be great. And I can only imagine you guys would take the same thing from us. So, you know, I will occasionally get phone calls from therapists, and I find that very valuable. And I can always learn a lot from you guys as well. So
I know for myself, like I can never even get through on the phone to my own family doctor. Never mind if I was trying to like call or go to the office. And I'm so glad that some people are able to connect with you. And I have to say, it could be that you're just one of those amazing unicorn doctors that is reachable and makes time. I'm not saying that that's not a quality that, you know, not everyone possesses. It's just more of a capacity.
No, but sure.
It's the wall of the, you know, reception or the MOA is like, you're just kind of like hoping to connect with someone, and you're leaving some cards and you're hoping for some kind of engagement, but you know, like it kind of is like futile effort.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, for sure. And I'm like not always available. I'll be the first to admit that, and ask any patient of mine. They cannot get through on my phone lines quickly enough. But, you know, I think using your patient kind of as a way to network would be my suggestion. So if I'm getting because I get referral notes all day long, I get consultation reports from various different specialists, I get lab reports, you know, all day long, I'm going through reports. And so this would be another report that would come across my desk because it has a patient attached to it. And, you know, something as simple as at the end of that, like, you know, I look forward to working with you again, please send me any other patients that might come my way. I'm going to be much more likely to remember you and send more clients your way when I've had that communication. Because ultimately, if I'm going to be kind of referring and recommending someone, I want to know what they're doing. I want to know that I can trust you, you know, to kind of help care for my patients.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think most of my colleagues would agree with that we want to know the people we're sending our patients to. What other advice about getting through that wall? Because there's definitely a wall. Like, I will not deny that it can be very hard to reach people. Most physicians, if you call, you know, we'll have like a press too if you're a health provider or if you're calling from a doctor's office. I certainly wouldn't have a problem if a clinician did that because you guys are healthcare providers. You know, I won't comment on whether all my colleagues would agree with that, but I think the majority would be okay. If it was just to solicit business, maybe not. But if it was to actually discuss
a patient,
I think that would be much more acceptable. And then, just kind of, I know, I mean, often I will get people kind of dropping by and dropping off flyers and things like that. I don't know. My honest opinion is it's probably a bit of a waste of time and money for you guys to do that, because without that face-to-face, without me kind of knowing like, well, why do I need to remember who this person is? We just get so much of that stuff. It's very likely just to end up, and just as a bit of an environmentalist, I would hate to see all those lovely pads and referral things that people print end up in the garbage, which they often do.
I love your suggestion around this, you know, collaborative communication, this like report updating you. I hear you loud and clear. You're not asking for copies of case notes or charting. But I think like having worked for the health authority in the past, I mean, we would send a note anytime we intaked a client and moved them through the stream of service. Like every time, every doctor would have some document sent to them telling them the path in which we have chosen with their patient as to the direction we're going. And, you know, in previous conversations with you, it became so apparent so quickly, like, why are there these very different approaches to client care when, you know, mm-hmm. the first one were almost like every time the client moves, we're notifying the doctor. But then in this other private care approach, there's nothing. And it's like kind of a weird contrast and not lack of care, but just not even the forethought to think that that is something that we could do or should do in some cases, mm-hmm. unless clients are like very acutely unwell. I can think mm-hmm. of like, that's probably more a traditional approach when we would involve a care mm-hmm. team or a doctor. Mm-hmm. So I really like your more proactive, collaborative idea. And I think we need to do more of this.
Yeah. And I think it, I mean, you know, I recognize that everyone's quite busy. And so I certainly don't think a note for every appointment is needed, but even just like an intake, right? And you could even, you know, as a clinician, just have a generic, like, you know, I have started seeing blank, you've done our initial assessment today. I will see them and let you know how it goes. And then if you've come to the end of your time together, or if they have, you know, stopped coming, you know, just to then say like, we have now completed our sessions. And, you know, that is almost kind of your marketing right there.
How would you receive those notes, Allison? Like what?
Well, I'd be like, great. This is fantastic.
No, but like,
how to receive them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So this is a really funny thing.
Yeah. I want to hear you say it.
Facts, man. Fax us.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to change. And like some of us, like I now use electronic faxes and it's changed my life, but yeah, it is. I was just talking about this with my slightly younger colleagues who were like, what are we doing in medicine? Like, we are so ridiculous. So yeah, we are still faxing. You know, there are some doctors that have emails, but it's a hard like system to shift to because we get so many things all day long. So like on a routine day, I'm going through, you know, 100 to 200 like lab results, CT reports, like, so it's all coming through, not all by fax. We have this other system that connects to my EMR. But if you just send me a fax, it will just show up in this giant list stack of, you know, what I go through. Yeah.
In preparation for this recording, I did do a little bit of research around faxing and electronic faxing, and Google has a service through a more secure email, and there are definitely apps and things out there. So, you know, we don't all have to run out and purchase this dinosaur of a device to communicate better and market our businesses and connect with medical professionals. So at least that's one good thing about this approach to communication is it is more accessible than we think.
Yeah. And, you know, like my office, we do have an office email, and I do occasionally receive things on it, but it's not as secure to be emailing the stuff. And so the electronic fax provider that we use is quite secure.
Yeah. And I don't think it's actually quite easy. Like many doctors don't have an email that the public can just access and send anything. So, you know, if a phone call isn't appropriate, then I think, you know, until there is a shift in technology or, you know, the way you operate, then we do just have to use the systems that are in place.
I mean, like you could mail me a letter.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that too.
Well, I was thinking about that, how do we send, like, how secure is the mail versus the fax? Like, it's kind of, and I think that, to be honest with you, like, I think that is part of the block, mental block for us helpers is, I'm just willy-nilly sharing this statement of what's happening for my client, and I really don't know who's receiving it on the other end. And so it just feels like you're kind of like sending this message out there. And I think our training has been like, unless there's like an acute problem, like you hold that data quite sacred and, you know, confidential, unless, and I think we are moving towards more of a collaborative care model just over time, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. And I really like what you're saying, because I think we need to do more before clients are acutely ill and more like proactive preventative treatment collectively.
Yeah. I mean, I often feel like we kind of work in silos.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm very off, like I'm very often, like I'll say to a patient, like, have you considered, you know, doing some counseling, some CBT would be really useful for your depression, your anxiety. And they're like, oh yeah, I've been in counseling for 2 years. I'm like, oh, well, had I known that, I maybe would have like jumped straight to medication, you know, like very useful to know these things. But then you feel like an idiot, like, oh, I didn't realize you doing, or like you've been counseling for 2 years. Okay. We got to ramp it up a little bit because it's not helping. Yeah, but I mean, just to maybe put your mind at ease, like we receive, you know, faxes all day long from specialists. And I realize that some of the stuff that you're speaking with is a lot more sensitive, which I'm hoping you won't include sensitive stuff. In fact, you could if you wanted to, but you know, we're getting kind of sensitive things all day long from consultants. And, you know, if they ever see a psychiatrist, often there's very sensitive personal information included in that that's coming to us over fax. So
yeah.
I think from a safety and confidentiality perspective, there's no concerns with using these. Because if that was the case, every doctor in Canada would be in trouble.
Yeah, I think it's just a mind shift for us as therapists to think of it more as a supportive care measure for connected treatment with the care team. And I think we need to kind of join that table of people that our client is sitting at with their care professionals. And we need to like pull up a chair to that table and we need to be more present and do more of that, because it just clicked for me that, oh my gosh, I have worked other places where this has been the standard and I was a counselor. And why is there such a discrepancy in private practice? And you're right, with a simple conversation, you know, a signature and obviously with consent, like we could have that working relationship, which I think you would appreciate, the client's going to benefit from substantially, and we need to do better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I'm very grateful for your time. And I also want to leave this conversation with something that, you know, maybe you want to highlight from this conversation or something that you would, that you think would just be really important to leave the listeners with.
Oh my gosh.
No pressure.
Yeah, I know, right? It was great for me to kind of hear that this was a barrier for you guys. And that was interesting because I was kind of blissfully unaware. And just, you know, thanks to all of the clinicians, because I think getting through COVID and now post-COVID, many of you are doing a lot and there's a lot of people that need support. I think therapy should be covered for all my patients. Maybe it's just my patients that all need therapy, but I certainly think there's a massive need for that and can be such a game changer for so many people to really have that great connection. And yeah, let's just collaborate more and not work in silos.
I love that message and I'm grateful for your time. And I think people listening are going to be very grateful to think of this very popular question and topic, but from a different perspective and hopefully change some of the way they go about their business. So I really appreciate your time, Allison. I'm so grateful for you being here.
No worries. Thanks for inviting me.
That's it for this episode of Launch Your Practice. I hope you found the information valuable and actionable. Remember, building a profitable private practice takes time, effort, and persistence. But with the right mindset and strategies, you can achieve your goals and make a real impact on the lives of your clients. If you have enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you have a moment, I would be so appreciative if you took some time to leave me a review. Your feedback helps me improve and reach more people just like you. If you have any feedback or future topic suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at Launch Your Practice. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for tuning in to Launch Your Practice. Until next time, keep building your dream private practice and remember to take care of yourself along the way.